Stephanie Newark. Now on this new earth, he's populating that thing with Jews because he promised the new earth to the Jews over in Isaiah 54. So they're doing just exactly what Adam was told to do. Right? Now, are their children being born with a perfect, sinless nature? Are they going to be born with no ability to sin? How's it going to work?
You guys came into this somewhere else?
Last night? Did you solve it?
No.
Where were you? Isaiah 66? New heaven, new earth, yeah. From one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, I shall cause all flesh to come, worship before me, and move it out, but I'll move it down to me. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Have you got it all?
Yeah, I got a song. I think I do.
I meant four.
How long did you work on it last night?
About
an hour. Well, you know, here's the interpretation for this class. Is man going to be created with a perfect nature? No. He's going to be created with exactly the same kind of nature that Adam was. Exactly. The whole thing goes in a circle. He is going to be perfect, but untested. Perfect, but untested. All right, now, every individual will have an opportunity to be tested. And it's rather obvious from verse 8 that some are going to fail the test. Isn't that right? Just like Adam failed the test. Some are going to fail the test. However, they may fail the test for other reasons than Adam did, but nonetheless, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. So have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the same. Now, a lot of people quote this verse and try to make that apply in this age. You're a liar, you're going to go to hell. Wait a minute. You can't lift the verse that's in the middle of eternity out and put it in the church age. This is an eternity right here. New heaven and a new earth. So the idea of the thing is that God is going to deal with wickedness and rebellion through all of eternity. The only difference between Genesis and eternity is that by the time we get to eternity, God's already got a whole host of people doing what He's commanded them to do. So one or two more or less ain't going to make any difference. You rebel against God. Out you go. Out you go. Where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness.
You mean if I go to eternity, that I can still go to...
Not you.
No.
not you. You're part of the body. The body's not severed.
So you just those that were born.
There's going to be people born in eternity
with a physical flesh and nature, just like you and I got right now.
Yes.
What happens to those that are killed? They include murderers in the list of our saints, but I mean somebody was killed.
Yeah, somebody's going to get killed. Evidently, they're going to have a some kind of a resurrection. And I haven't figured it out, but I'll tell you where you could figure it out. If you want to figure it out, you'll find the answer in the cities of refuge. That's where you'll find the answer. I haven't figured it out, but it's there. All right, yes. Yeah? Now, what was he talking about when he said no marriage? He's talking about people number one with a resurrected body in heaven. We're not talking about people with resurrected bodies. We're talking about earthbound people.
Earth,
no more.
We're talking about heaven.
Yeah.
Original sin.
Yeah, we're talking about... Well, let's go back. Let's have a mini course of dispensational truth for a minute here. What's God's whole plan? What's God doing? What's this thing all about? Are we just kind of floating around and this is going to happen and the tribulation is going to happen and the millennium is going to happen? And then all of a sudden the new earth and new heaven are going to be here and then it's just kind of who knows who's guess.
What's the population?
Exactly. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. God's plan and purpose is to populate the heavens and the earth. That's what he's going to do. What does God's plan do right here? What did he say to Adam? He said, now you be fruitful and multiply and replenish the face of the earth. God wanted to fill the thing up. Now just thinking in the realm of supposition for a moment. Let's suppose that Adam had not fallen and Adam had been faithful to that admonition. And Eve had about 190 kids and, you know, and they all had 190 each and, you know, and on it went and pretty soon before long... They're like money rabbits in Australia. They're everywhere. What then? God created the universe for His glory, and according to Isaiah 45, He created it with the concept in mind of being inhabited. Then you find that in the Davidic covenant. How so? Oh, that's tomorrow. The increase of his government. You got it. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Kingdom. Wait a minute. Kingdom. You see, to have a kingdom, you got to have subjects. The king is not a king unless he's got someone to king over. Isn't that right? You see, he's got to be kingly. He's got to have some subjects. He's got to have someone to rule over. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Here's where I got this thing figured. Now, I might be haywire, but this is where I got it figured. So, you got a sea up here. The sea that the Leviathan, the sea monster, goes up and down through. Makes its twilight upon. Here's heaven. Okay, heaven's coming down. All right, now here you have the universe as we know it. Here's the earth, and here's the New Jerusalem sitting on top of that dude. And here's the solar system and the planets out here. You know, 36 sextillion light years across. That's dimensions. Now heaven's come down. God's come down to be a tabernacle with man. Revelation 21. And so now we got an earth. At that time, the earth will be the center of the universe. The center of the universe. the New Jerusalem, the home of the saints, the bride of Christ. Israel here, the second Adam came to restore what the first Adam lost. Not only did the first Adam lose his complete image of God, but he lost his privileges and opportunities in the original commission and admonition. What did he lose? He lost a lot. He lost both kingdoms. He lost the opportunity to replenish the face of the earth. And when he was given that opportunity to replenish the face of the earth, jointly he was given the opportunity to be king. Rule and have dominion, right? So he lost all of that. The second Adam came to restore that which he lost. Now the ultimate restoration is going to be seen in the new heaven and the new earth. Alright, so here you go out here. You fill earth up. It's full. I mean, you know, people just keep being born. They're not dying. The curse is removed. There's no pain in childbirth. Populate like rabbits. No disease, no sickness. And no problems like that. Well, what are they going to do? Well, what did the devil try to do prematurely in Genesis chapter 11?
Build a
tower into the heavens. That's what he tried to do. You got it. That's what he tried to do, you see. Didn't work out. God spoiled it. That's what he tried to do. Did you ever think about that? Oh, I don't have time to get into that. I know. But all of a sudden, we have another Adam pop up out here somewhere in this universe. Now, God's got his plan in full gear by now. I mean, the thing is really in motion. And the thing is populating and populating of his kingdom, there shall be no end, and the thing is populating. But occasionally you get a liar, and you get a murderer, and you get a this and a that, and all those things, an idolater, a whoremonger, a sorcerer, all those things that are listed there. Because there's always going to be, God will never, never, never operate under any system except free will and volition. He gave Satan the opportunity to fall. Satan said, I will. He lifted up in pride in his own heart. Adam fell. And even though the influence of Satan will not be there in eternity, there is going to be just the idea that, you've got a free will. Someone's going to fall. God's going to have to deal with that. He's going to have to judge that accordingly. And, folks, for all of eternity, evidently, will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus referred to that as outer darkness. What happens when this universe is filled up?
So it'll take a long time. Yeah, I know. But what happens when it's dust? It gets bigger. What happens when that stuff just gets bigger? I kind of figure that scheme's always going to be there.
Here's out of darkness out here. Here's out of darkness out here. And you see, of his kingdom there shall be no end.
It's grow, push it out.
And you know what's happening to these folks out here? They just keep getting further
away from God. All of that. Yes. Oh, what if there's no more seed? When I read that, I got the instruction that when heaven comes down, the sea is no longer between where earth used to be up above the throne of God. Like a drop of water in the middle of the ocean right now is surrounded with a covered black balloon. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, now we'll take the balloon away. And if we wouldn't even be able to fathom the size that the universe really is, because then we see God's universe, which is above all that.
I'm sure we can. Yeah.
It just seems like he takes the seat away, and then all of it becomes one. And then outside of that is all the darkness. There is no light.
You're talking about things, when you start getting into this, it's just, I short circuit. You know? Nothing can't comprehend. Gary?
No, we did a search in the body of Christ. We don't have to do this, but it's just going into the church.
You got to understand this. Evidently, this is the. There's different kinds of people in eternity. There's you in a resurrected body. You're not going to be marrying or given in marriage. You're already married. Amen? You're going to be in eternity married. You will have gone through a millennium married. Make sense? Everybody got that? Okay? Yes. I don't know. Find a scriptural precedent for it. I'll look at it. Yes.
But as Gary says, our job here for spiritual fruit there is supposed to be everything on earth is fit or something in eternity. Is it only there's some spiritual fruit there later?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't help but think that even the millennium is the type of eternity. In the millennium, well done, thou good faithful servant, have thou rule over these five cities. Who's going to rule over these five planets in eternity? You know? That's spiritual fruit bearing. This thing, I mean, you know, it gets wild. It gets wild, man. It gets real wild. This thing is filled up. The bottom half of this universe is filled up and it's growing and growing, and all of a sudden God says, all right, come here. He calls you in and he says, I'm going to go up here and give you these five planets and I'm going to send you five couples. And we're going to put one on every one of those planets, a regular Garden of Eden. And you are going to rule it and you're going to call the shots and run the show. Why not? Because you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. You got his mind. Why not? Wild man, wild. Like him. I've got to, you know. It's like the preacher's wife that wrote him a little note just before he went to the pulpit. They hadn't been married all that long, you know. She wrote him a little note. And that's all it said. And just before he preached, he looked at him. Heart fluttered a little. He said, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Afterwards, they went home every day. He said, sweetheart, he said, I want to tell you how much I appreciate the little, just that one little word, kiss you wrote me. He said, that's not what it meant. He said, what it meant?
What it meant?
He said, simple, stupid. The idea of the thing is there are some things that you can say for sure. Number one, verse 8 indicates that there are going to be some fallen depravity that has to be dealt with in eternity. It's going to be dealt with. And I'm sure God will deal with it. All right, now, the New Jerusalem coming down, verse 12, 12 keys. The names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and the south 3 gates, west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Let me give you some things about this Jerusalem in outline form, rather than try to work our way through this here quickly. The New Jerusalem is a literal city with incomparable beauty. obviously it's not brought about by man's efforts. Built by God. John 14. Number one, it is the light of the glory of God. 21:11. It is the light of the glory of God. I'm just going to give you some descriptions here. Simple, simple things. Number two, great high walls. 21:12. Great high walls. Jasper is symbolic of the glory of God. Wall indicates full protection for those with God. Number three, 12 gates. 12 gates, guarded by the angels. Number four, 12 foundations. Verse 14, 21:14, the names of the 12 apostles are described there. For what reason? Perhaps as a memorial of their calling and the ministry of Jesus.
You mean the 12 foundations? You mean
foundation is a foundation, you know? Yeah, hard to figure. Four square. 21:15-17. This is a four square city. Now, you know, it's been a long time since I took geometry. The city four square is kind of world. It's as high as it is wide as it is long. It's a cube, but really it's Dr. Ruffin in your text goes into this quite a bit. Yeah, it's kind of like this. You know, and imagine that both of these now have got four sides. See? And here's really your fifth side. One, two, the pyramid can have three sides, it can have four sides. You know? Four sides, really five sides. And this thing here, just to show you how big this thing is, let's go down through here. Verse 16, and the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he that measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of the man, that is an angel. I can give you an idea of just how big this is. It would be stretched out something like this. It would go from Denver to New Orleans to Buffalo to Miami. That's how big that city's going to be. In all directions. I mean, that's a whopper of a city. And I mean that it goes up 1,500 miles. Up 1,500 miles. I mean, they think the Empire State Building is a big deal. They think the Sears Tower is a big deal. This one goes up 1,500 miles. That's how far it goes up. And it's the same distance in every direction. Somebody kind of figured that thing out and said I don't remember this. I think maybe Dr. Ruffin in his text goes through that deal and runs out of X amount of people were saved and died every year during the whole church age, like 100 million people, which is, you know, really probably stretching it a lot. For 2,000 years, it'd still be 10 huge rooms for every saved person. I mean, this could be something else. Beyond your wildest. No wonder when Paul saw it in 2 Corinthians 12, he didn't want to come back. No wonder he was a suicidal maniac from that day forward. No? I mean, do you ever stop and think about that thing? If you coordinate that thing with the book of Acts, most probably when he, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, except, you know, that deal, that was probably when he was stoned. And what did he do? As soon as he kind of shook himself, they hauled him out of the city, left him for dead, and he got himself revived a little bit, and he turned around, and what did he do? Went back into the city. I mean, either you've got to be suicidal or crazy, one or the other, right? You know, it's like standing up and they shoot you in front of a fire squad and they really don't kill you. They just almost do. Then you stand up and say, please do it again. You know, it's that kind of deal. So that's what we're looking at as far as the size of this city. All right, you go down through here, verse 18, 19, 20, 21, it gives you a description as far as the actual appearance of the city, all the precious stones and so on and so forth. Where else can you find these stones? Where else can you find these stones? Breastplate of the high priest. Okay. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 parts. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. As it were, excuse me, as it were transparent glass. The gold is so pure, it's transparent glass. Can you imagine a gate that's a solid pearl, long, say, a couple hundred feet high? Big clam, big ocean. Big sea, right?
Big
outriggers. Real big. Okay, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb in the temple of it. Praise the Lord. Now in the millennium there's a temple. The last eight chapters of Ezekiel are essentially dedicated to the millennial temple and information about it. There is a temple in the millennium. That'd be a good test question. But there isn't one in eternity. No temple in eternity. You see, all the sacrificing has been completed. That's finished. It's done. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine it up, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. I think the idea of the thing is that this city is going to be home. It's always good to go home. The city's going to be home for the saints. A lot of people have the idea that eternity is just going to be kind of sitting around sucking your thumb and strumming your heart, you know. If you follow the types through in the Bible, it's hard to type eternity. It's easy to type tribulation. It's easy to type the millennium. It's hard to type eternity. It really is. But if you can find some types and follow them through, you'll find that even in eternity, you're active and busy. The closest type you have to eternity, of course, is Adam before the fall. Right? And what did God say to him? You're going to tend the garden. That's what you're going to do. You're going to take care of it. You're going to work. You're going to have responsibility. You're going to name the animals. And it would appear that the majority of his responsibility dealt with new pioneering kinds of things. Interesting. Okay. Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it. There was a choice in the millennium. Zechariah 14, there's no choice here. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, nor there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Into what? Into the city. Into the city. There might be some defiling things out here around the edge, but they'll be dealt with. They'll be dealt with. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh my, right there. All right, where was I? Let's run down to the. Let me go back to my list. The city is four square. Precious stone. The light. Just a brief two-word description. No sin. The water of life is there. The tree of life. 22:2. We'll get to that in a second. And no more curse. Okay, 22.